This is the Knowledge Bandits Podcast. I'm your host, Arum. I'd like to thank you for joining us today. Let's start the show.
This is the Knowledge Bandits Podcast, and I'm excited to bring you today's season finale guest, Mr. Koki Adasi. Koki is a DC area native real estate agent. Koki first entered the real estate business in 2006 while he was looking for a career that would merge two of his passions of people and real estate. Just a few of Koki's achievements. In 2008, he was recognized by Realtor Magazine as one of the most talented up-and-coming realtors in the U.S. In 2009, he provided real estate expertise on CNN's The Situation Room and on NPR. And in 2010, he appeared on an episode of HGTV's television show, House Hunters. Since that time, Koki has given his expertise to several different media outlets, including the Washington Post, the Washingtonian, the Gazette, and Real Estate Radio. He currently serves on the board of directors for the Greater Capital Area Association of Realtors and is also the co-chair of the National Association of Realtors Meetings and Conference Committee. Koki also stays quite active within his community, and you can catch him volunteering or playing basketball around his area. He also serves on the board of directors for YMCA Youth and Family Services, and he's been on that board since 2006, and he's been recognized by the Greater Capital Area YMCA as the Philanthropist of the Year.
Wow, so Koki, you're definitely staying busy, but I was wondering if you could take a chance to let the bandits get to know you a little bit better.
Sure, sure. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I definitely stay busy, and you know, I think right now the one thing that keeps me very busy is my family. Married for 5 years now, and I have two little kids. My son Akil, he'll be four in December. My daughter Soraya is a year and a half. So you know, even though I stay busy, you know, I try and find time to, you know, have that, you know, quality moments, you know, with the family. Nice. Outside of real estate, you know, I love playing basketball. You know, I grew up played in high school at Magruder in Rockville, and then played at Mount St. Mary's University. And you know, I still play in, you know, men's leagues and play pickup basketball to stay in shape. So it's a fun activity to do, but also it's also great networking as well. You know, and for me, you know, I think that anything that a person does on a consistent basis, you know, gives you an opportunity to, you know, build relationships with folks over time, you know, and just like you and I met, you know, on the basketball court as well through a mutual friend. That's the way that a lot of relationships and opportunities are started.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I definitely agree. I was going to dig a little bit deeper just to find out a little bit more how sort of your hobbies have turned into great networking opportunities.
Sure. Yeah. So, and, you know, for myself, you know, selling real estate, I'm a salesperson, and, you know, in any sales business or any, you know, entrepreneurial type of job, the one goal you have is to generate new business. And so if you're doing that, the best way to do it is to get in front of people. And so I felt that, you know, rather than, you know, cold calling, you know, people who I don't know, if I can be in situations where I have an opportunity to meet somebody and then build a relationship over time, you know, I think that people get to know you, they like you, they trust you, and then it's at that point that they'll consider actually doing business with you. And so, for instance, in, you know, like, you know, pickup basketball that I play in, there's times when, you know, you're between games or afterwards and you're talking with guys, you get to learn about their family and, you know, the fact that they just had a child and they're married or, you know, what have you. And, you know, that can then turn into the happy hour later or going out to lunch to get to know them better. And, you know, again, it's at those points when people know that you care about them and what's important in their lives, that's when they're willing to entrust you, you know, with you know, in my case, you know, helping them buy or sell real estate. But any other industry, you know, I think it's the same thing.
I like that. And a lot of what I'm getting out of it is sort of to be a good salesperson, you have to be able to connect with people. And to be able to connect with people, you generally just have to be a good person. So just there's something to that.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And so you said you got started, you started your family about 5 years ago, and I'm sure it was also a time where you were building up your business and there was a lot of scaling going on. So can you talk a little bit about what that process was like in terms of starting a family and then also managing a new business?
Yeah, sure. So I'll take you back, 10 years when I first got into real estate. Being a sole entrepreneur, you're everything. You're the accountant, you're the marketing person, you're the salesperson, and you're the assistant as well. And eventually I got to a point where business was finally going well and I was having some success, and I realized that in order to continue that that level of success, I needed to have some kind of leverage. So I hired my first assistant, and then from there I've then brought on agents to the team who've helped work with our clients. And so today, I have a team of six people. We have four agents, a full-time admin, and then a director of operations. And so going back to, the family and, trying to handle that transition, it makes it a lot easier when I have support around me in my business to make sure that I can take care of my life at home as well.
Yeah.
Because without having that support and leverage, in the workplace, it can make things, crazy in the house. And, of course there's times when, I do sacrifice and I'm, meeting with the client, late in the evening. So when I get home, the kids are already sleeping and those aren't ideal situations, but I know that, it's not like that every night and that ultimately, I'm doing this for a bigger reason, to try and provide a great future, for my family, better life than I had. I had a great life growing up. But my goal, of course, is trying, give that, if not more, to my family as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so can you talk a little bit how you got started in real estate back in 2006?
Yep. So I joke and tell folks that, 90% of the things that happened in my life are through basketball, and real estate was definitely through basketball. I was, 23 years old, and I was playing in a league, right at the college. And I had a buddy who played with me who was about 30 years old. And, whenever I'd see him, at the games, we'd chat and stuff, and he'd tell me about his business a bit. And then one game, I'll never forget, he told me that he was preparing to retire. And so, I kind of just paused, and I was like, retire? What do you mean? And so that following week, I took my mother to lunch, went to Uno's in Bethesda on Wisconsin Avenue. And I simply asked him about his business, how he got started, what he did. And he not only sold real estate, but he also invested in real estate as well. So he had, rental properties that, he owned free and clear and was collecting, a very decent amount of rent that was paying for his lifestyle. And I thought it was very, very interesting and intriguing. And, I had a business background in psychology as well from college. And, I was in a job that I wasn't very happy with. I was doing accounting at Clark Construction in Bethesda. And so I said, hey, why don't I try and get my license and, see if this will work out for me. And so I got licensed in December of 2005. And then, started with his company in January of 2006. And I was there for about five months. He was busy doing his own thing, so I didn't learn too much there. And then I transferred over to Long and Foster, and in a sense, the rest is history. But it was a very challenging beginning, to my real estate career, because the first year I was in a business, I sold two houses and $7,000.
Wow.
And although I was a young person and didn't have a ton of responsibility, I still had rent and credit cards, and fortunately I was bumming it at my parents' place and wasn't paying rent. But it was a very, very tough beginning.
Yeah.
The one thing that kept me in it was that I was really enjoying the work that I was doing. And so I knew that if I kept listening to the mentors and the coaches that I had, that eventually it would pay off.
I like that. And you see that a lot. Certain entrepreneurs, or really almost every entrepreneur I've spoken with, has gone through that lull where they just need to focus on what their passion is and focus on getting through that. But we will definitely touch on that a little bit further into it. So, I mean, I do want to understand why you decided to leave the real estate firm that you were with and start your own thing.
Yeah, so the main reason why I left the position I had before getting into this residential real estate sales business is that, one, you know, I wanted to be in a business where I could, you know, essentially control my destiny, right? Mm. So I knew that if I learned the system and worked hard and worked smart, that I could have success that I could not have in my previous job. And also, you know, being a independent contractor selling real estate, you not only run your own business, you make your own schedule as well. And so, you know, having the flexibility to, you know, take my family on a trip to whether it's Pennsylvania or going to Nigeria, and having to check in with any boss, that's a great feeling. And, you know, having that amount of control and power in that position also takes a lot of discipline as well.
Yeah.
Because you can't just leave, you know, for 2-3 months, you know, at a time. You still have to work to produce, to provide for not only my family, but also for my team members as well. You know, because we have employees on the team, and then we have agents on the team as well. And so if we're not selling real estate, we're not getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely a fine line that you have to balance. But, you know, I think that, you know, flexibility and then, really having no cap as to what, you know, we could earn and reasons that I wanted to get into real estate.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. And so for someone looking to get into real estate on their own, what are some very tangible steps that they can take to make that happen?
First, I would say, you know, take your real estate pre-licensing classes. You can take those through any major brokerage in the area. Longandfoster.com has information on that, and that's the company that I went through to get licensed. Second would be, you know, talking to folks who have experience, you know, because even though you take the pre-licensing class, that simply allows you to take the test to pass to get a license. Somebody teach you, you know, how to sell real estate or how to, you know, manage a business, you know, how to take care of your, you know, quarterly taxes and your health insurance, you know, because when you're a contractor, all that is taken care of on your own. You know, there's no employer that's taking care of, you know, your taxes and your healthcare and your retirement. So you need to talk to people who are knowledgeable in that and can assist you with preparing for that. And then, you know, just you have to have faith in yourself, and you have to have a strong desire and will to work hard. You know, because it's all on you. Again, if you're not selling properties, you're not getting paid. Most people need money to survive. So,
yeah. Okay. I like that. We're definitely going to touch on a little bit more of that, but, we sort of got a sense of what the business does and how you got into it, but we want to really dig deep on who you are as an entrepreneur. So what fires you up in the morning? What's your morning routine, and why is that routine so important?
Yeah, this is a great question. And, you know, probably one that actually gets me really excited. So, you know, occasionally I'll travel and speak to, you know, groups of realtors and just giving them advice on the business. And it always comes to the point where we talk about, you know, morning routines. And there's two special things for me, which make me a morning person. And I feel like I crush my mornings. So first is, you know, when I was 4 years old, that's when I began working, and I began working around 3:30 a.m. And for a lot of folks, you know, it's kind of hard to hear that. Like, wow, you know, you're only 4 years old and you're working. My father had a newspaper route in Leisure World, which is a senior community in Silver Spring, Maryland. And we delivered the New York Times and Washington Post to about half of the community. And it's a pretty big community. And so it would take us about, you know, two and a half hours or so, depending on the day. And then, you know, from there, I'd go to a pre-K, right? And so I'd be in school, and I'm always tired. And they're like, you know, why are you tired? I had to work this morning, you know? and the teacher found out that I was, like, you know, lying, but I'm like, no, like I was really working. And I'm sure today, you know, there'd be some, some labor laws that my parents definitely put. But you know, it taught me at a very young age that, you know, you have to do what you got to do to support the family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I was always a morning person. And then when I went to college and played, you know, college basketball, mm-hmm. many times where we had, you know, 5 a.m. workouts. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, it was nothing because I was, you know, used to get up at 4 when I was young. Mm-hmm. And then last year, last September, I was at a conference in Seattle. And I heard a guy by the name of Hal Elrod give an excellent presentation. He's the author of The Miracle Morning. Mm. And after hearing his presentation and then reading his book, I realized how important my mornings were and how I was doing some great things in the morning, but actually putting it together and having a morning routine could actually elevate my mornings and help me have phenomenal days. Mm. And so the routine is very simple. It's called the Life Savers. And so the Savers, S-A-V-E-R-S, what it stands for is the S is for silence or meditation. The A is for affirmations. The V is for visualizing. The E is for exercise. The R is for reading. Then the last S is for scribing or to write in your journal. Hmm. And so those items I try and do religiously each morning. And today, you know, I wake up at 4:30. Hmm. I think I'm crazy, but you know, in that time of silence, I mean, I'm able to create so much clarity in my life and in my head, and you know, everyone's sleeping, it's very quiet, and I'm able to accomplish a lot, and then be able to then move into the day, you know, having clarity and like just like a full force of power, ready to conquer the day.
I like that. Savers. That's the first S is silence.
Yep, silence or meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Got affirmation for A. The B is visualizing, visualizing your goals and you know how your day is going to play out. The E is for exercise. So you know, for me, it's either basketball or I'm you know, working out in the gym. Mm. And then R is for reading. It's reading whether it's a self-help book or a business book or something that's going to you know leave a positive impact on your mind in the morning. And then the last S is for scribing or writing in your journal. So I have a journal where I, you know, express my gratitude and write, you know, what I'm thankful for and write what I want to happen in my life, you know, for myself, my family, for my team, for the folks who are around me.
Yeah. And so how long does that take you to do before you get started with work?
So outside of the exercise, you know, it takes usually about 35 minutes or so. So it's not terribly long. Mm. And then exercise, you know, takes anywhere from an hour to, you know, an hour and a half or so. Mm. You know, like this morning I played basketball and I got to the gym at 6 and then left the gym around 7:45. Mm. You know, so it just depends on the day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Definitely going to try and implement some of that. I have a few of those pieces lined up, but I think sort of spreading it out a little bit better is definitely something I'm going to look into.
Yeah.
So we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about a point in time where you really felt down with being an entrepreneur. You felt like it wasn't necessarily what you needed to do. So sometimes entrepreneurs have hard time picking out just one down moment. But I just want you to take us to one specifically that stands out in your mind.
So yeah, I think two moments that I can recall. Hmm. You know, one is, you know, when you're running a business and you have employees, you're dealing with different relationships. And I've had a couple of employees that I've had to let go over the years. Mm. And it's not easy. It's never easy, regardless of, you know, how great the person was or how poor the work was, whatever the case might have been. Mm. It's very challenging to let people go. Mm. And what that has resulted in is us doing a much better job of hiring up front. Mm. And then the second piece of it would simply be, you know, in the first few years, when you're trying to, you know, grow your base of clients and build a strong foundation, you go through, you know, months where you have no paycheck. Mm. And, you know, it's challenging to plan ahead for going 3-4 months with having no income. Mm. And so, you know, being able to survive, you know, those kind of, you know, dips or downturns was a huge challenge that, you know, I was never used to, you know, because mm-hmm. in all my previous jobs, I was, you know, I always had enough income to, you know, to survive each month.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, being in a strictly commission-based business, that was an adjustment that I had to figure out, you know. Mm-hmm. And now, fortunately, we're in a position where, you know, we sell properties, you know, every day. You know, right now we're selling a house almost every 3 days.
Wow.
So we're in a position where we have consistent business coming in.
Hmm.
We're able to handle payroll easily, and we're able to take care of our quarterly taxes and, you know, other responsibilities that the company has.
Hmm.
So, you know, those challenges, you know, or some folks might call them failures. You know, to me, it's a learning experience, and you learn from them and they help you grow.
Hmm. And so what is something that you did back when you had to go through these periods of time where you weren't receiving a paycheck? What were some things that kept you going? Like, how did you look at those situations?
You know, the one thing that has always kept me going is that I enjoy what I do, period. And like, I'm a very positive person. Hmm. And so regardless of how bad a situation may look from the outside, I always try to, you know, focus in and see where the opportunities lie within those challenges, you know, and that's really the one thing that I believe has kind of helped me get over the hump each time that I run into, you know, difficulties or you know, challenges with my business.
That's good. I think it's important to find what you're passionate about. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but as long as you're putting in the work to find what you're passionate about, it makes the world of a difference when you inevitably get into these points in which you're not sure whether you can go on or not.
Right.
Yeah. And so to flip it around, we want to talk about a specific moment that has been one of the highlights. I'm sure there have been many, but just pick out one moment that stands out in your mind that's a highlight for you as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, the one moment which is a highlight for me as an entrepreneur would have to be when I was honored as a 30 under 30 member of a Realtor magazine back in 2008. Because, you know, that was, again, it was still a time when I was like growing my business, trying to figure things out. You know, I had some, you know, in my mind, some very mild success. And then to be raised to like to a national platform where you're not recognized in front of all your peers and clients. I mean, that was just a huge, you know, honor to have. And then I really used that to catapult my business because when you're one selling real estate and you're young, you're relatively new to the industry.
Mm.
The one thing that you have to do to get clients is, you know, not only let them know that you care about them and their goals and their needs, but you have to show that you're confident and that you know what you're talking about.
Mm.
I'm looking to buy, you know, a property in the U Street corridor, and I'm looking for a row house in Harrison Square. Like, I want someone who knows that market well and can help me negotiate a proper price for the home that I'm going to buy.
Mm.
And so being able to express that knowledge is, you know, very important. And, you know, people then, you know, had a different perspective on, you know, myself and our business, because now recognized by the National Association of Realtors. That was a huge moment, and something that, you know, I still, you know, today we definitely promote the fact that, you know, not only myself, I have another team member, CJ, who was honored about 3 years ago on a 30 under 30 as well. So, you know, it's something that we're very proud of, and we work hard to try and provide the best service possible to our clients.
And so looking back, what would you say was the one thing, or what was the group of things that set you apart from the rest of the people who were being considered for that award?
Yeah, I think the one thing that set me apart was, you know, not only was, you know, was I experiencing success in the real estate industry, you know, relatively quickly, but I was also, you know, volunteering within our real estate association. So serving on, you know, different committees. And then, you know, third and probably most importantly, you know, I also found time to give back to our community. So even in the beginning, when I started in real estate, when I had virtually no money, you know, I still, you know, gave back time, you know, to local nonprofits. Mm. You know, as we started to, you know, gain revenue and sell more houses, I was now able to give not only time but money as well. Mm. And so, you know, having that, you know, philanthropic, you know, leg on the stool, so to speak, mm. it was a huge differentiating factor.
Mm. And I'm sure that when you started out, you probably didn't have that in mind, that you're going to do all of this philanthropic work to be considered as a 30 under 30. But as the previous entrepreneur I interviewed said, he said, whatever you're doing, just realize that someone is noticing. So whether it's good or whether it's bad, someone is taking notice.
Yep.
Yeah. And so with that, we're going to get into the rapid fire round. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. What would you say was initially stopping you from taking the step to become an entrepreneur?
Fear. And to me, fear is, you know, false evidence appearing real. Mm. And so just, you know, seeing all the challenges versus seeing all the opportunities initially, mm. Wow, I believe was holding me back from jumping into the business.
Mm. I like that acronym. False
evidence appearing real.
Nice. And so at what point did you stop looking at your business as a project and more as an actual business?
I was probably about almost 3 years into real estate when I started looking at it as a true business and, you know, learning how to, you know, run it as a business, look over P&Ls, in balance sheets, you know, how to pay taxes, you know, quarterly. Mm. Something that, you know, the first few years I didn't do, and then had a, you know, huge bill that, you know, end of the year. Mm. So yeah, you know, it took some time, you know, before I, you know, understood all the different aspects of running a business.
Mm. Mm. And what quality do you have that most contributes to your success as an entrepreneur?
I believe the one main quality that I have is being positive. Mm. Because being positive allows me to see opportunities when others see challenges or failures. Mm. And it also allows me to bounce back too when things don't go the way that I want it to go. If we don't get a client that I thought we were going to secure, you know, I'm able to bounce back quickly and move on to the next transaction, you know, and not focus on the negative aspects of what just occurred.
Hmm. And what quality can you improve on as an entrepreneur?
The quality that I can improve on as an entrepreneur is just consistently being a better leader for my team and always looking for ways to train better, to hire better, and just being an overall better leader. You know, I think that empowering others is key in having people who are going to be happy on any team or any organization.
Hmm. And what's one of the best pieces of advice you've received, and who is it from?
The best pieces of advice was from one of my previous real estate coaches, who told me to create a life that's bigger than myself and then move into it. And so what that means to me is simply, you know, to have goals and have dreams and then, you know, have those written down and then figure out a way to then create that into reality, turn it into reality.
Hmm. Hmm. And what advice would you give to a younger Koki just starting his career?
To a younger me starting their career in real estate, I would say, you better have a lot of passion and a lot of faith in yourself. Mm. And you can't be afraid to pick up the phone. Mm. You have to call people. You got to reach out. You got to stay in touch. Mm. You have to build relationships. And the opportunities that you create will present themselves, and then you'll be very successful.
Mm. And at the Knowledge Bandits, we like technology. So what is one internet resource or application that you couldn't live without? And we just exclude Google, Facebook, all of those big ones.
Yep. So not social media. I would say probably podcast. The podcast app is huge because there are just unlimited resources out there for anybody to tap into for free. You know, like this podcast here, it could be, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It could be anything you want to learn, you can learn it for free. Yeah. And so I think for me, it would definitely be podcast.
Hmm. Okay. And I guess for you, this is actually quite applicable. What was that transition from a 9-to-5 or an 8-to-5 like into entrepreneurship?
it was interesting. Yeah, I mean, you know, having to report to a boss every day and be in an office at a certain time and leave at a certain time, to essentially reporting to yourself and going into office whenever you decide you want to go into the office. I mean, it's a different process, you know, and you have to figure out what's important to you, what are your goals, and then what schedule is going to work for yourself and, you know, for your business. Because I see folks who get into real estate all the time, and I forget the national stat, but I want to say it's something like 80%+ of realtors who get into the business within 2 years, they're out of it. Because, you know, it is a challenging business, but the real challenge is learning how to work with yourself. Yeah. Right. And learn how to create discipline within your business. Hmm. So yeah, the transition was interesting. But fortunately I was able to learn from a lot of different people, a lot of different mentors who, you know, kind of guided and coached me. And I just figured out a system that worked for myself.
And you mentioned you play basketball, you work out and the different things in your routine, but outside of that, what else do you do to unwind from a hectic schedule?
Yeah. So we actually just moved to a new property in DC, and we have a little bit of land. And so sometimes just hanging out in our backyard on the deck, or we have a little playground for the kids. Hang out there where it's pretty quiet. You know, you'll hear some birds and some other animals and some squirrels running around. That definitely allows me to unwind. We live right next to Rock Creek Park. And ooh, so nice. 30-second walk from our house. There are several trails, you know, that I walk through with the kids. And again, it's just, you know, it's very peaceful. It's very quiet. It's not like it was, you know, living in the U Street corridor where it's, you know, very busy and tons of foot traffic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, you know, kind of having that time with nature, you know, allows me to unwind.
And to close out this round, do you feel like you've made it yet?
No, I don't. You know, I think if you asked people on the outside, they'd probably say, oh yeah, you know, you guys have made it, you know, you're balling or whatever. But, you know, for me, you know, I feel like we've done well and we've created a lot over the last 10 years. But to me, this is just the beginning. You know, I'm creating a business that, you know, when I'm done selling real estate, you know, this business will still run. And this business could be sold one day, or my kids, if they wanted to, could work for the company. So, you know, I still feel that there's a lot to learn, you know, a lot to create. And yeah, we haven't made it just yet.
I like that. And I think that was a great rapid fire round. But I another question just sort of came into my popped into my head. So I think when I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, there's this there's this idea that's not fully fleshed out, where they don't understand sort of how someone can pay them for something that they do without having a regular 9-to-5. So are there any things that you can tell the people about kind of breaking out of that mentality and understanding the value that you might be able to add to someone else?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, for anybody who's looking to create their own business, you know, first, you know, it's a totally different mindset, right? So when you're an employee, you show up to work, you got certain tasks to do, a certain time frame to get it done within. And then, you know, every 2 weeks or whenever it might be, you'll get paid a certain amount of money. And that amount you're getting paid, you know, might change once a year. It might not change within the year, you know, but not a lot of, you know, opportunity for significant growth quickly, right? Now, as an entrepreneur, you have much more risk involved because you're creating a product or service that you're trying to deliver to customers, right? And one, you got to figure out your true value add and what that's worth. And, you know, why would someone be willing to pay you, your company, versus another company? So because you're creating this business with this service or product, and you're creating so much risk for yourself, the reward as well is going to be significant, right? So higher risk, higher reward. And, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, if you're someone who is driven by you know, being able to, you know, I should take that back, because one of my favorite quotes is, you know, the highway of success has no speed limits. And so, you know, to me, like in any business, you can really create the world. And you know, being an employee, you're kind of confined to a certain box. And you know, for me, I got to a point where I just couldn't live in that box anymore. You know, I wanted to be able to be in a business where, you know, if I worked hard and did things that, you know, the right way and was, you know, ethical in my business, that eventually I would get paid, you know, for that work.
No, that's I like that quote. I'm gonna add that into my list of quotes. The highway of success has no speed limit. I like that.
Oh, and the second part of that is excel at your own pace.
Which is important. You know, I read the first part and I was like, all right, I'm going 1,000 miles an hour on that highway. But then it's the second part actually puts it into perspective. Yeah. And so as we cool down, what is one book that you would recommend to the bandits? One or two books?
All right. I'm going to give you two books. This is very easy. So the one is, I mentioned earlier, Miracle Morning. The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. Second book is The Success Principles, written by Jack Canfield, who wrote The Chicken Soup for the Soul series.
Okay. Yeah. And for anyone listening, feel free to go to knowledgebandits.com and we will have a page for Koki set up where you can look into those books in more detail and find out where to buy them. And who are your mentors and what would you say is the value of mentorship?
So mentors, geez, I don't know where to start. I've had so many, but currently, you know, I think my mentors are the managing broker in my office here in DC. He's been in the business for about, you know, 35 years or so. And you know, the value of mentorship, in my opinion, is simply, you know, reducing the amount of time that's going to take for you to begin and then have success. Because they've you know, probably seen the majority of things that you're going to experience in your business, and they can help you avoid pitfalls, avoid mistakes, you know, save money and, you know, operate a business that's more efficient than it may have been had you just kind of, you know, gone through things, you know, blindfolded to speak by yourself. So yeah, you know, I think there's immense value in coaching and mentorship. And I've had a few different real estate coaches over the years. I'm actually currently looking for a new real estate coach. So yeah, I mean, I see value in it. You know, you see professional athletes and, you know, all of them have coaches regardless of their sport. They're always looking to hone their skills and to improve day in and day out. And being an entrepreneur is no different.
I like that. What advice would you give to some of the bandits listening who are skeptical or even afraid of taking that next step into entrepreneurship that they inherently know they should?
Yes. So for the bandits who are out there right now listening to this and, you know, have some fear or nervous or whatever it might be, you know, I would just say, take the first step, take the first step, you know, every marathon, any journey, you know, whatever it might be, starts with a step and you just have to lean in. You have to do it. You got to trust in yourself. You should plan, of course, before moving into the venture, but just know that if it's something that you truly believe in and you're passionate about, one of two things will happen. You'll move into it and you'll right away, you know, pick up clients, whatever it might be, have success and start killing it. Or the second thing is you'll move into it and you won't have the success that you thought you would have. But in that process, you're going to learn what works and what doesn't work. And then you can change your course. Right? The key is you got to move forward, because, you know, sitting on the sidelines, you're not in the game. You can't do anything. And the last thing you want is, you know, to be looking back, you know, 20 years from now saying, man, I wish I would have taken that risk. Wish I would have, you know, opened those doors and opened that company and, you know, gone with the passion that I had at that time. You know, so to me, that's the worst thing that that anybody could have, is a life of regret. You know, so you just got to dig deep, plan for it, and take the first step.
I like that. And sometimes it really just is that first step is going on Google and researching, finding out more about what you think you're passionate about to understand whether it's truly a passion or it's just something that might remain a hobby.
Yep.
Yeah. And so as we say goodbye, for those people who have been listening that have just been inspired and enlightened by everything you've been talking about, how can they connect with you for mentorship opportunities or maybe even internship opportunities?
Yeah, so you can connect with me via email or through our website. The website is kokiisthekey.com, K-O-K-I, and then isthekey.com. Email is koki@kokiisthekey.com. Follow me on Instagram @KokiIsTheKey or Twitter or Facebook as well.
All right. And so before we leave, we're going to ask the final question. So you're tasked with building the greatest business the world has ever seen. You can bring on any two people, living or dead. With you taking the lead, who would you bring on and what would you do?
Yes, that's a great question. A great question. And if there was just two people, you know, the first person that I want is somebody who has, you know, strong business knowledge and takes a lot of risk. And the first person that pops in mind is Mark Cuban. And then the second person that I want to have on the team would be, you know, someone who understands technology and social media very, very well. And so that would be Mr. Mark Zuckerberg. And you know, I feel that with that team, you know, we could create and do anything that we put our minds to. You know, I feel like, you know, with any you know, business or venture, you know, having the right people in place is key. And, you know, I've been fortunate now to create a team that, you know, works very efficiently. You know, we all get along very well. There's no drama on our team. We're a very positive group. So, I feel like with that team, we could do anything.
Well, there you have it. The two Marks, Mark Cuban, Mark Zuckerberg, and Koki taking the lead on that team.
Yeah.
Well, Koki, thank you so much for today. It's been a great experience for me, and I'm sure that the Bandits appreciate it as well.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, stay inspired.
This is the Knowledge Bandits Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, or Stitcher. You can also follow Knowledge Bandits on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And as always, Bandits, stay inspired.